Hey, what's up? This is Chef Noel Cunningham, your Jamaican chef. Welcome to What's Cooking with Chef Noel, the podcast that dishes on the food and beverage industry and the entrepreneurial spirit and everything relevant to being a chef. If you love to cook or eat, this is the show for you. What's Cooking with Chef Noel? Witty, real, and informative. Hey my people, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of What's Cooking with Chef Noel. And of course, I am your Jamaican chef, Chef Noel Cunningham. And this week we're going on a culinary journey with Chef Joe Friday. And Chef Joe Friday is an acclaimed chef, restaurateur, and entrepreneur currently based right here in Toronto. And he's going to share with us his culinary journey and what makes him the burger guy, because he's also sharing some tips on how to make the perfect burger. And then, of course, he's also sharing some tips on how to become a good competitor. And he's no stranger to competition, because he is the founder of the Chef Collective, a chef-driven organization which committed to supporting local and worldwide chefs by providing them with a platform to showcase their talents through live culinary battles. So let's not wait no longer. Let's go right into the conversation. Let's go. Alrighty, so I'm not sure which day you're listening. It's not Friday, but the Friday boss is here himself. What's up, my bro?
What's going on? How you doing?
Not bad. So tell us how you got that name. You know, Joe Friday, Chef Joe Friday. What's up with that?
Yeah, you know, Friday is a German name in the South. You know, a lot of the slave owners took the names of their slave owners.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our slave owner back in the day was Freetag. So Freetag means Friday. And like, look, I love the name. It's pretty awesome. My dad's Joe Friday.
He's Joe Friday as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we, you know, it's our name. We take it to ourselves. And my brother made a name for himself with the Friday as well.
Oh, cool. All righty. You were born and raised, because I see your travel history, which, you know, I'm amazed by. You were born in?
I was born in North Carolina.
And then I see like Japan, and you train in Italy. Tell us that journey. Walk us through that little journey of young Joe.
Yeah, for sure. Look, yeah. My life's been, I've been completely blessed.
Yeah.
I had so many opportunities. I was born in North Carolina. I was a pretty sick kid. My dad was in the military. And so I basically was medevac to a Hawaii hospital that was specialized in kids with heart issues.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was happening. My dad was getting transferred to Japan. He's in the military, and we moved to Japan. And so from there, I lived about 8 to 10 years
in Japan.
Okinawa, yeah. Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was pretty cool. For me, it was really awesome to kind of see that development, you know, being a different culture in Japan. And so it was pretty cool. The kids were amazing. The food, the culture, the movies, like everything about Japan. The
lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there a culture shock for you? Was there a culture shock?
No, because I was too young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I was there when I was like 3 years old. So kids don't know no better, right? So
yeah, that's true, yeah. And then now, at what age or what inspired you really for culinary? What take you there?
Food went back to Japan. Like, look, my mom and my dad are from the South and they love cooking. And, you know, although my dad was full-time, my mom worked as well. They always made time to cook for us as a family.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time cooking, eating and them cooking. And, you know, the interesting thing is they were doing fusion food before, I guess, the coin was crazed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They would go to the Japanese markets and get Japanese food and cook Japanese ingredients and cook Southern food.
Southern food with, yeah, yeah. But the same thing I told people, like, you know, I'm are always telling people is that fusion is from creation.
Yeah.
People been fusing a long time until, you know, us chefs just create a term for it. That's all. But it's some creation, bartering, they traded, using what they got, you know, out of nothing to create something.
Exactly.
And then that's where you got your inspiration, right? So from, yeah, from then. And then now you travel, you work in different places, Italy. Tell us about that. What inspired that?
Yeah, so the traveling and working in different places came from school. So I went to culinary school, and I worked at Walt Disney World. And when I worked at Walt Disney World, I worked at the Epcot Center, and Epcot Center has all the different countries. So you got Germany, Italy, France, Japan, all these different pavilions. And so I just got to meet some really cool people. I ended up dating a girl in Norway. And like, I was like, I want to go to Norway, you know?
And you were there,
And so I just basically went to Norway, and then I went to Italy. And I went
so long you were in Norway? How long, how long you were there?
Norway for 6 months.
6 months, okay.
Yeah, went to, I was in Trondheim. Which is
So that's how long the relationship was?
Six months? No, the relationship, the relationship only lasted while we were at Walt Disney World.
Oh.
We just were friends.
Okay.
I was visiting in Norway, but like our parents let me stay at the house, and me and my roommate at the time that were was in Florida, we stayed at the house, and like they lived on a farm. So like the food is awesome. Like living on a farm and, you know, drinking goat's milk instead of like cow milk. Like, you know, it's just awesome.
You're building up your palates, different stuff. And it's fresh. It's different. And then now you go to Italy now, up in Norway, because all of these are building your skills now, right? More.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Italy was quite fantastic. I think Norway made me appreciate minimalist because, you know, it's a very rigid region.
Yeah.
The ingredient pool isn't as much as somewhere like, you know, like Italy. Italy has like all four regions and they get so much food.
Yeah.
Norway's not the same. So made me appreciate having a little bit and making something really cool with
all of it.
Italy was like a cultural like destination. I mean the history behind it, the food, the Silk Road, and how they got all their ingredients in different regions. The southern regions of Italy have a lot of African spices.
Yeah.
And then the more you get up, the spices, they kind of like change a bit. And so like for me, like I had an opportunity to kind of travel Italy and taste all the food, like
the regions
where you get the spiciness, right? So, and then Tuscany, where it's just like rich and buttery. So it's like so many. Tuscany's more like French to me, the more like French cuisine.
Yeah, so many aspects to it, And I think that's every, and the reason I'm asking you all this, I think it's every chef dream to like travel where you have been, because these are like the melting pots of culinary, basically, which makes up culinary. Yeah.
Agreed. These are the places that you want to go. And I just, you know, I just went on a whim. I just like, I'm going to go. So I went.
And like, you know, looking back, you have also pulled from all of these spaces.
Right now, I would say my food is more of just my experiences. I mean, I definitely grab a lot of it from my history of where I'm originally from, North Carolina, because I lived there for a while. And then Japanese is a big part of it, too. But then I just, everywhere I've been, like if I had to make a menu, just one menu based off my travels, I mean, I couldn't tell you what would be on it. I guess I tell you it wouldn't be one place.
Which one place? It wouldn't be.
If it was one place, it'd be the South.
The
it
South. Would be the South. I figure.
Like, I really like just love the South. But like, I mean, it wouldn't be just one place. My dream restaurant is to do like a Southern inspired, like fine dining restaurant.
Or what I think would be nice too. Recently, I was in Jamaica. I went back home and I went to this restaurant. It's called Nirvana Global. And they had a global menu. It's not just fusion where they're fusing stuff. It's a fact that you can get a little pasta, this, that, like, it's a global menu.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And it's authentic stuff you're getting from each region, I guess, or country or culture then.
Yeah, it can't be boring.
No.
It's not boring at all.
No. It was really, really good.
Because Jamaica's a port, right? Like, Jamaica is a place where people travel and stayed for a little bit and then continued. But you had people from England, people from France, people from Spain, all come to Jamaica. So Jamaica's food culture must be extremely rich.
It is rich. It is rich. And it's developing now even more because we now have like a food and drink festival there, Observer Food Award, where, you know, they award, like restaurants, hotels, chefs, and all these people. It's getting there. It's growing. Yeah. It's growing, and it takes time because, trust me, our people, them stuck in them ways. They like what them like.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't
yeah.
change it much. But with the, you know, the millennials and the Gen Z and all these people, it's changing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure.
And it's us as chef, it's our job to also introduce new flavors or way of, you know, creating the same dish in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's doing really good. But we recently, you know, met at the Chef Collective Battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which you're the founder of that. What inspired you to start the Collective Battle, you know, the Chef Collective Battle? Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, look, I was, 2015. I was kind of hanging out and I was watching some TV.
Yeah.
And I saw a show that I really liked. And I was like, I can probably do that. And then I slept on it. And then I woke up. I was like, I definitely can do this. So I reached out to my homeboy. I actually was working with him that day. Chef Dev. We did a lot of catering Dev, in the past.
Yeah, man.
I was like, let's do this. And we made it happen. Like, you know, I basically, from that day to the first competition, I think it was 4 weeks. We had a restaurant, everything.
The on chef's board,
It was amazing. But the reason I started it, though, was because I really wanted to, like, get a lot of the brands out there that people didn't know about, but also the chefs. Like, give chefs, because there's tons of TV shows that chefs can apply for. But I want to reach out to chefs that are kind of, like, in the scene that maybe not TV friendly because they just don't have a lot of media training.
Yeah.
And give them the opportunity to cook their food in front of a crowd and increase their base.
Yeah.
And same thing with the brands. The brands have a huge opportunity to do that. In this last battle, I got to partner with Samurai Media.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
They absolutely did so well with the battle. Like, and now we're just going to be partners.
Yeah. And it was my first time because this one was your second staging, right?
This battle?
Yeah.
This is like battle number 30, but it's our first one coming 30? Back. Yeah.
Yeah. Lord.
We've done Vancouver, Halifax,
Montreal,
Saskatoon.
So you take it around. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So this was my first one. So I just got back from Jamaica and I got the invite. I'm like, yo, let me check it out. It was on Ossington.
Yeah.
And I'm off Queens. So it's like walking distance. And I love the setup. You know, the banner is there. You get your drinks, ticket and stuff. And what I love about it is the fact that even you mentioned it earlier with the brands, the chefs, it's a space, once you're a brand or you're in the industry, it's a space you want to be in.
Yeah.
Because it's so intimate where you're rubbing shoulders with the people you need to rub shoulders with.
100%.
There were so many media persons there, like from Magazine, I think Vibe Magazine and some other magazines and stuff like that. It's the right place to be. And I love that about it. And it's not a competition where I am better than you or you're better than me. It's like, it's really showcasing all of these talents.
Community.
It's not where I feel like, I lost.
Yeah. No, yeah. You know what? I love, I'm a competitive person in the first place. I'm not. I used to compete in high school, high level.
Yeah.
But like for something with food, I think food is a place and a thing that brings people together.
Together, yeah, yeah.
So I think the competition from the food perspective, I don't think it's necessary. I think it's more about camaraderie. Yeah. You know, even the people in the crowd, they get to meet people they've never met before. Yeah. They get to link up. And we don't have that as a community when it comes to food.
Yeah,
we
that's
go
true.
To work, we cook.
Go home.
We go to a restaurant, we work with a bunch of other chefs, we get to meet them, but we never have like a community building thing. And I think that's just something that we've been able to do as well.
Yeah, yeah. And networking is also very important because I've also met a few chefs, influencers who I've only seen them on Instagram or we only chat in DM, right? But it gives us an opportunity now to gather, you know? It's like a communion, which was good. What is your tip or advice to someone like myself who is not competitive?
Competitive?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with being competitive. I mean, honestly, I think...
No, I'm not competitive. Or can you give me some tips to get in that mindset to be competitive?
To be competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so like, look, if you have a desire to be competitive, I think you have to be able to control yourself a bit, because competitive brings out the dog in you, that ego, brings out all the like nasty things in it. Mm-hmm. But it also, competitiveness brings out the best in you too. So like, you got to be able to like manage your personality once you, if you achieve something, if you compete and you win, you're going to feel boastful and like your shoulders are going to puff up.
Yeah, yeah.
But also like, it should be something that brings out the best in you, the absolute best. So like, you're cooking a dish in a competition like this, and you know that you got two other contestants that are really good cooks. You want to make sure you achieve the best you can do.
Yeah.
And that's what you're competing with. You should never look at competing against the person next to you. You should compete with yourself, but allow the person
always up your game and try to up your game. Yeah.
Yeah. Allow the person next to you to exactly up your game.
Yeah.
Because if I cook a dish that I've never cooked before, because you're cooking beside me and I'm like, I'm trying to be really good enough to compete with you. And then I make a dish and I'm like, wow, I've never made this before. I would have never made this if I wasn't competing. So that's what competitiveness is
being,
is improving yourself.
And what are some of your rules in terms of going into a competition? Do you think play it safe with dishes that you know, step outside of the box, take risk?
I think you don't achieve self-growth if you play it safe. Mm. I think if you play it safe and you made a dish that you made 1,000 times, first and foremost, if you don't win with that dish that you perfected, there's got to be some slight in your mind. How good is that dish? So like, second of all, if you compete and you don't win with a dish that you just came up with, you can go back and perfect that dish.
Yeah. And it's not yours. And it's not yours. It's
yours.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's like that person next to you pushed you to be great. And I think that's
the, and it's always, and it's, so basically you're saying it's all about the mindset.
Yeah.
And I like that because it's a mindset that you go in a competition with. Mm-hmm. Say, for example, as a chef, you enter CHOP. Even if you don't win, at least the world saw you. At least you walk away with an experience walking in that kitchen stadium. So it's just a mindset that you walk away with at the end of the day, or also go inside the competition with.
Yeah. I mean, okay. There is a level of not wanting to lose.
Yeah.
And I get that. But okay, so if you're dangling $1 million in front of me, of course I don't want to lose, right? So I want to win that $1 million. I want the golden goose. But but I think self-growth is way more important.
Yeah, I like that. And it also depends on which part in your career you're at as well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, So I think most people, the ego get to them. So they are, and I think it's a chef thing. I realize with most chefs, this ego thing where it's always like competitive. Do you think that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know,
I see it a lot.
How long have you been in Toronto?
Well, I'm fresh. I've been in Toronto since 2019, but then of course, the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So you're
fresh. You're extremely fresh. I've been here for 12 years, and you know, I think Toronto is. I've seen Toronto through interesting culinary times. When I first got here, Susser Lee had just won Masters or Iron Chef in America. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this place is about to be a food scene. And then I realized there's not a Michelin star here. And I was like, I came for a couple of Michelin stars. I kind of want to go back to the States. Mm-hmm. But then I just like, I realized that there's something to be had here because it's a major city. There's so many different cultures and there's tons of food everywhere. And one thing I learned right off bat though, was Toronto's kind of a cliquey place where there's a pockets of chefs that kind of stick with each other. And like, you know, not a lot of community support, which I think the Chef Collective does.
Yeah.
I think it puts people in a building, in a room that people that they might admire or they have an opinion about, but never met, and they can actually talk to them.
That's
but
true.
Because a lot of times you're not going to like call a chef up or someone up, like, let's go have a coffee.
Yeah.
But if you see them in a room, you might have a drink with them and sit down and talk
and
get to know them. So I think the Chef Collective has put that together where we've been able to build a community.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful thing, man. I honestly think that it's awesome if you can be next to a restaurant that's one of the best restaurants in the world. And that's going to make you step your game up every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, look, I want to be better.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, every day I want to create something new.
Yeah. I like that. And I like the perspective. And even, you know, being in a room, I think Chef Wallace, that was my first time meeting him. And, you know, I've met Eat Famous already, Chef Dev, we have met already. But also, I think even that night, we all went out and had some food after.
Yeah.
And it's like it cements stuff even more with all of us.
Yeah.
So it now seems like, you know, like brethren, friend, not just see each other as like rivalry or competitors or anything like that. Because especially for me as a new chef on the scene, like you find some chef who like, yo, who is this new guy on the scene? And why is he doing this? Why is he doing it? I'm like, yo, we all can win. We all can make it. The city is big. Yeah, we all can make it.
We're like less than 1% of the population.
Yeah, and especially so like, us, yeah.
When we just stick together. I mean,
yeah, and that's us as a community, yeah.
What you just said was amazing. Like, you went to the battle, you actually broke bread with some chefs.
Yeah.
Like, breaking bread with someone is one of the most intimate things you can do. You
can do, and that's why I said it's a very intimate settings, why I like it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I love to see chefs come together, because we all have something in common.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what background we come from, like, we all cook. We all love food, right?
Food is a common ground, which we all stand on. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Do you have a favorite food quote or a quote that you live by?
You know, every day show up and give it 100%. You know, like, there's, you know, I tell a lot of people and kids that I mentor, I tell them a lot of them just to give it 100%. Because some people end up getting into the business and then they don't see the growth. They don't see like them growing in their company that they're at. Like, maybe they've been a sous chef or a garmanger for 6 months, a year, 2 years. And they kind of like lose hope.
Yeah.
I just like, if you always give it 100%, you can have no self-doubt.
Yeah.
You can never go home and second guess that you give it 100%. So that takes that, eliminates that out the way, right? Yeah. So eliminates self-doubt out the way. And if you can eliminate self-doubt, honestly, man, like going into, and what's given it 100% is like knowing your surroundings, do your reading, educate yourself on the products, the recipes.
Go up and beyond,
Yeah, so that's what I mean by give it 100%, not just like wake up every day and go to work, but like know everything about your job.
Yeah.
And then you can't have no self-doubt. And then I think if you have self-doubt, you don't have self-doubt, you just grow fast.
Grow. And that's the way, and you know, the promotion come, that's the way opportunity come, because you're also doing more than your job description.
Yeah.
And what you're also doing now is you're teaching yourself, and you're growing. It's no longer about the company, but it's about you. And I really love that, because even, you know, chef like you, myself, a lot of younger, you know, kids, as a kids, college kids will see us. They want to be where we're at. Oh, I want to be on TV. I want to do this. But it's years of work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you a quick story.
Yeah.
So I worked at Walt Disney World, and I went to culinary school to be a pastry chef. I met Walt Disney World. I'm working pastries. And then someone got hurt. And I'm talking, this is a Friday night. We did 600 covers. Whoa. Like, it was a very busy restaurant. It was a Port Orleans restaurant. Someone got hurt on saute, and the chef was like, we need somebody to hop on the line. I didn't even ask anybody. I was every day come in, because saute was right near pantry. Oh, every day come in and watch the hotline, the grill, saute, like fry, everything. I just watched them while I'm making, you know, my pastries. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as that happened, I ran over there. I just ran over there. And my pantry sous chef was like, where are you going? I was like, they need help. Mm-hmm. That next day I got a raise.
Hey.
And then within 3 months I became the sous chef.
Yeah.
So I was the youngest sous chef at that restaurant, because I was only 19.
Above and beyond. Yeah.
And it's just because I was 100%. I gave it 100%. It means I went into work.
Yeah.
I knew my job to the point where I was paying attention to everyone else's job.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'd share my story like that on a podcast, but I remember I was working at Edenism Hotel in Jamaica, and I used to work on the main range, right? So when I went there, I wanted to do pastry. There was no space in the pastry shop, so they put me on the dinner shift. But I worked so fast, so when I finished my job, I would walk over by the Japanese restaurant, help them roll sushi, then I'll watch them sometime in the evening doing their stuff. Sometimes I go to the Italian restaurant. I'm always walking up and down. That's my thing. Because I finished my prep, I'm soup and sauce guy sometimes. Those are simmering. I walk up and down. And I remember one evening, there was no Japanese chef, and they called me, oh, Noel, I think we need your help. I said, chef, I can't do the teppanyaki. I can't. He said, Noel, I believe in you. You can do it. And I went on the grill, man, and I started doing my thing. And right there and then, my ratings went up in that hotel. I could work Italian. I could work everywhere in that hotel.
Yeah, that's it right there, man. That's it. You gave it 100%, you know? Yeah.
And I love what I do. I love what I do. And if I'm not going to give my all to a project or to something,
yeah,
I'm absolutely not going to do it.
Yeah. The number one thing about self 100% is eliminating self-doubt.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing to grow if you doubt yourself.
No, that's true. Yeah. And I think that's something some people struggle with. Like some of us, we are just naturally confident. We just natural. Some people struggle with it and they learn how to naturally come out of that. And I think with time, some people will develop that.
I think the biggest thing in the world that people have is fear.
Fear,
And self-doubt is part
fear of failure sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So self-doubt is that, man. It's like, you know, man, I guess the biggest story, the biggest lesson I can give everybody is like, make sure you're confident enough to not be fearful.
I saw something yesterday on Instagram, which I love so much. And it says that things people learn too late. Everything is temporary. Life, and when it says everything is temporary, you know, sometimes also we hold on to things or we let things frustrate us.
Yeah.
And I was even going through some of your stuff and I see where you had, I don't remember what it's called, your restaurant. You opened 2019.
Oh, Friday Roots.
Yeah, and then the pandemic hit, right? 2020, you got to close down. So that was temporary.
Yeah.
You cannot let that distract you from what's happening. If you understand everything is temporary, then life isn't fair. Family matters more than friend. Not so true, because we got some real friends out here who are like family. Beneath anger is always fear. A lifetime isn't forever. The biggest risk is taking no risk. Things don't matter that much. You know, happiness is a choice. You played it too safe. Money lets you be yourself, so go get it, you know.
Yeah.
And these are some things that people learn late, which you're kind of referring to that. And you said it earlier, like, you know, the biggest risk is not taking no risk when it comes to, like, even, you know, playing it too safe won't get you far.
Yeah, 100%, man.
Yeah. And as you do, like, you know, consultancy, you're now working on a project for your own restaurant as well, I see, for next year.
Yeah, it was right here, Friday Burgers.
Oh, Friday Burgers. I thought it opened already, you know?
No, I've done some pop-ups. I've done some pop-ups. I take possession in about 15 days from now.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we're at 81 Bay Street, Scotiabank Arena, right across the street. It's called the CIBC Square.
Yeah, okay, nice. Good location.
Yeah.
So Friday Burger, I see, and it's coming soon. I can't wait. So I'm sure we're going to get some, what can we expect, though?
Look, man, for me, I love burgers. Like, if you can ask me for one meal, it'll be a burger.
Burger, yeah.
I love burgers and pizza, but I love quality, right? So what you can expect is, like, high-end ingredients.
Yeah.
No shortcuts.
Yeah.
I'm not using any of the substitute vegan products. I'm using real, like, mushrooms.
Mushrooms, yeah.
Vegan burger. Because I got to make sure I'm 100% behind the ingredients.
That's true.
And I can't be 100% behind some of these other products. So
yeah,
you're going to get good quality, man. Like, good every day we're thinking with quality for it. Yeah.
And always, like, things with you, like, in terms of the pandemic and food wise and balancing life itself, because it's been a rough one for a lot of people, especially chefs. We've been hit hard. Restaurant closed down. Uncertain part, not know what's happening. It seems crazy. How are you?
You know, I'm blessed. I can't sit here and complain about anything.
Yeah.
I've worked really hard, achieved certain things that I wanted to achieve. I still got a lot more. You know, my biggest goals in life I haven't achieved yet. I want to be able to create foundations to help people.
Yeah.
And I got to put myself, that means I got to work harder and put myself in better positions.
Yeah.
I'm good, man. You know, like,
love the
pandemic did slow things down, but it gave me a time to think and read and gather myself together and be more prepared. So I can't complain.
That's right. I love that. And you just mentioned give back, and it's a story that I love. So I met Rachel, right, from Habitat for Humanity. So I was supposed to do an event for her. It didn't went through, but something happened. But then I went to Jamaica, and I think they reached out to you to do that event.
Yeah.
And then now she told me, oh, I met Chef Joe, and he did an event. And that's why I'm here at the event, because she was at the collective battle.
Yeah.
And then now she told me that that's how they came on board now. So from the event, you gave back a percentage to the charity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's how you met her, by doing the catering.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you bring them on board, which honestly, I met you that night, right? The first time we met.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this really speaks volume about you as a person and as a chef.
Yeah.
And the fact that this is a company that you just went to do something for, now you bring them on board to really give back.
Yeah, I think we were able to give them $1,000 in cash, yeah, and $4,000 in American standard. So like washrooms, like sinks and toilets.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
what they do. They build homes for people who, you know, people that yeah. need them. And so like, man,
yeah.
it just feels good to give back, you know, like yeah. it's just like there's people out there in the world that need a hand.
Yeah, they have and way if, less, man.
And if you give them a hand, but if you teach them while you're giving them a hand, they can go and in return help someone else out. It's yeah. a cycle of life.
Yeah. I really love that, man. So when she told me, I'm like, no, this chef is the deal. Because, of course, you're in your event, and most people want sponsors. Most people just want. But for you to really take time out to give back, it's a yeah. big deal. It's a big deal, you know? So I really yeah. respect you for that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
What makes a good burger? What makes a good burger, in your opinion?
Ooh, like I said, good ingredients, but... I study all the burgers. I mean, yeah. like remember I said, be prepared, right? and be confident. I'm 100% confident in the burger mm-hmm. world. You know, I really like the Oklahoma burger. I yeah. like charred onions. I love the meat,
yeah.
the sauce. My favorite burger is yeah. the Carolina burger, which is chili. There's chili cheese on it. It's like a chili cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. It's so good with coleslaw. But what makes a great burger is the bun and the meat. Everything else can be is subjective.
Substitute. Yeah. Yeah.
You can put, if you want a mustard burger, add mustard. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
if you have good quality meat.
Yeah.
And it's cooked properly with a nice sear on the outside because you want that beefy flavor and then a nice bun. I think potato buns.
I think I heard something once. I don't know if it was Gordon Ramsay or one of these chefs. I know most people have their own opinion. That a good burger is just basically like it's basically what you said, the bun and the meat. And like some burgers, like there's no lettuce or tomato. Because some yeah. people think that those take away the real flavor of that's what's happening.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. Some people do. Like the onion burger, the Oklahoma burger is onions, meat, pickles, and cheese.
Yeah.
Super simple, man. So like... you can the toppings, like, you know, I got to eat my lettuce and my greens. So, you know,
get your greens on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but I know it's opinionated. Everyone has their own opinion. But I believe that a good juicy beef mm-hmm. and flavorful. I've heard some people say that, oh, you don't season the ground beef, right? You just once the meat is good, you farm those and then you season them after, right? Because yeah. if you season your meat, it becomes tough.
Yeah, I don't season. So
yeah,
that's one thing. I'm watching YouTube videos and what works for you work for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But like beef is so like nice and beefy. If you want meatloaf,
yeah,
go ahead and add all the stuff to it.
Okay.
All I do is salt, pepper on my meat. That's it.
While it's cooking.
Not okay. I don't like rub it inside the beef, you know, like
okay.
on the outside.
And there are some people putting egg in it and bread. I'm like, and breadcrumbs. I'm like, that's yeah, a meatloaf.
That's meatloaf.
I'm like, that's meatloaf. That's ain't burgering at all. So I'm happy you said that. Yes, I'm looking forward, you know, to come by, come on through. And but what I love about you though and most of the chefs here that I've come across is that everyone kind of find their niche and stick to it.
Yeah.
So when we think about a Chef Joe, we can think burgers, we can think southern food, we can think all of those stuff, which not just putting you into a box, because of course you have your catering business.
Yeah, yeah.
At least we can point you out easily.
You know, it's so interesting you say that because like,
yeah.
you know, I've worked in some Michelin star restaurants and I
yeah.
love it and I love that stuff, but that's not necessarily me. I like cooking.
Comfort,
good, soulful, comfort food.
Yeah.
But I can definitely plate it up with the best of them.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I cater for some people and they always like, oh man, we got to get you over to make some burgers. But I'm making everything, right?
Yeah, so
I'll cook it all.
But it's good to be known for something. So if you like that refined Michelin thing or you like, but I think for you to do soul food and comfort food, it takes you home and it takes you to a place of comfort.
Yeah.
And you feel fulfilled at that time.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's good because like even with, you know, most people might put me to say, okay, Jamaican food or Jamaican fusion. I love my Caribbean fusion itself. And that's okay. I'm not trying to be outside of my box. It's good when we can stay inside of our box at times and then come out of it at times. Surprise the audience.
Yeah.
As food knows no boundary. So terms of someone listening to you want to become a chef, what's your best advice and also the importance of traveling?
Oh, yeah. So my advice, if you want to become a chef, is to dedicate yourself and really want to become a chef.
Yeah.
You know, educate yourself. And I'm going to give the advice as if I was giving advice for a kid. If you want to go to school, go to school. But remember, school is a place that gets you prepared for the world and to be more social and to learn a little things here and there.
Yeah.
But foundation. If you want to become a chef without going to school, you can do it. But make sure you pick the right restaurant. You know, there's restaurants where you can go to that will teach you all the basics, fundamentals of being organized, which is great. And then there's restaurants that teach you the cuisine. Like you can go to work in a Michelin star restaurant, or you can go work at a Joey's or a Cheesecake Factory to learn, you know, organization. It's key to know organization in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you want to do it, do it. Make sure you give it 100%. Make sure you focus and do it for the right reasons.
And it's always continuous learning, especially being a chef, and which that's a whole different topic about accounting, costing, being an HR, being a counselor, it's so much.
Yeah.
So much being a chef. Yeah, man. So thank you so much, bro. It was great chatting with you. I enjoyed this conversation. You know, I love chatting with chefs and hear their journey and their story beyond the food. Because oftentimes we see the food, but we don't know the man behind the food. So thank you for sharing that as well, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, man. Anytime, my bro. Can't wait for the restaurant to open.
I got a burger waiting for you. When we open, man. I'll see you in a bite.
So can we expect any jumbo burger? Tall burger? No?
Oh, I'll make you a jumbo burger.
I see people searching for that in Toronto, like big burgers. It's that time. We've reached the end of another show. Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Remember to follow us on Instagram at What's Cooking with Chef Noel. And to catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at I Am Chef Noel. Until next time, see ya!